I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hosting the So Money podcast for almost 10 years, I've been learning a lot about how to best serve you outside the show. I've begun to offer pop-up workshops and a So Money members club. And with each new line of business, a lot goes on behind every transaction. Stripe helps simplify and ease payments with Tap to Pay on iPhone, which helps me grow revenue and reach through accepting more in-person contactless payments when I'm out in real life promoting my programs. Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe give me the ability to scale quickly and stay flexible with quick setup and no additional hardware required. And it's not just ideal for me. From local pop-ups to global retailers, Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe help businesses of all sizes accept contactless payments right from an iPhone. Whether your customers want to use their card, Apple Pay, or other digital wallet, now you can accept contactless payments right from an iPhone. To learn how Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe can help grow your revenue and reach, visit stripe.com/tapiphone. So Money, episode 771, Mo Bunnell, author of The Snowball System.
You're listening to So Money with award-winning money guru Farnoosh Torabi. Each day, get a 30-minute dose of financial inspiration from the world's top business minds, authors, influencers, and from Farnoosh herself. Looking for ways to save on gas or double your double coupons? Sorry, you're in the wrong place. Seeking profound ways to live a richer, happier life? Welcome to So Money.
For some people, the idea of selling a product or a service can feel like selling out, or maybe selling your soul. But our guest today has a technique for selling with integrity and winning every time. Welcome back to So Money, everyone. I'm your host, Farnoosh Torabi. We are welcoming Mo Bunnell to the show. He leads the Bunnell Idea Group, whose trademarked Grow Big integrated system helps companies grow their business faster and in the right way. And he also helps professionals get focused and efficient in business development. Now, I know a lot of us are not running big companies, but I love that Mo's advice really does relate to everyday people as we work in our careers, as we start our side hustles, as we run small teams. He has a new book out later in September called The Snowball System, How to Win More Business and Turn Clients into Raving Fans. Our discussion turns to many facets, including his give to get technique. We also talk about some shorthand for calculating what your time is worth, as well as Mo's So Money accomplishment, which was finally purchasing a horse farm near the heart of Atlanta. It was on his family's bucket list for years. Two websites I'd like to share with you before we get started. To learn more about the Snowball System, head over to snowballsystem.com as well as createdemandcourse.com. Here we go. Here's Mo Bunnell. Mo Bunnell, welcome to So Money. It's great to connect with you. Thanks for coming on the show.
Hey, thanks, Farnoosh. I'm really excited about it.
It's an exciting time for you. You have a book launch coming out September 11th, The Snowball System. And this is a book that's going to give us all powerful and proven tools for business development. Now, our So Money Nation listeners, we're not all necessarily running Fortune 500 companies, but what I like about your book is that it really applies to any size business and some of us who have side hustles, you know, how we can best leverage what we've got going on to grow, because we all are interested in growth. And your system is really, what's great too, is it's science-based. So talk a little bit about how you arrived at the Snowball System. Why is it called the Snowball System?
Oh, that's a great question. Well, if you think about relationships and growing your influence, you know, whether you're on that side hustle and you're worried about that part of your life, or you even already own your business, or whether you're somebody that's in a really big organization, you know, you could be in an internal department like finance or HR or IT or anything. Everybody's got a core craft. And what we can teach folks through the Snowball System is, how do you then bolt onto that core craft, the ability to influence and help others? And to get to your exact answer, the idea of snowball system came because when you're always treating other people with helpfulness and with grace and with trying to find ways to help them, but also trying to figure out the craft of strategically being helpful to others, then as you start to do that more and more and more and more, it's sort of like that snowball rolling downhill where it gets easier and easier to impact others at higher and more prestigious levels. How does that resonate? Does that make sense?
Oh my gosh, completely. I mean, I've heard before too that there is a practice philosophy of just give because that is always going to be a win-win situation. I think that sometimes we fall into the trap of wanting to receive, you know, because we need to pay the bills. We want to make that sale, and we don't have the patience to just sort of give. Well, like how much, what's a good measure for like how much you should really give and like the kindness that you exude and the patience, like before you feel like you're just being taken advantage of or it's not being reciprocated?
Oh gosh, that's a great question. So we've got a technique called give to get, and it just parlays right from what you were saying. And the idea of a give to get is try to think, what strategically do you want out of a relationship, and sort of begin with that end in mind, and then pull it back to say, what's the first half hour or 1 hour that I could do for somebody and be helpful to them that's in the direction of how I want to lead the relationship? So we're going to begin with the end in mind. You know, if you were in a business development role, it might be, I would like to win $1 million at this client. And then you might think, what's the first hour I could do on my dime that would be helpful to them, but start us in that direction? You could do similar things internally at an organization. Maybe you'd like to get promoted to vice president, and the person in charge of that is struggling with a particular issue. You could think, well, what does the vice president role do? And what's that first 1 or 2 hours I could do out of just my own kindness of my own heart to start helping the person with that particular issue? And they start seeing me as somebody who solves those kinds of issues, so I'm more likely to get promoted to vice president. So the give to get model sort of gets to, what's the first hour or two I might do with the individual I want to influence and be helpful to, and sort of lopping it off there and sort of stopping at an hour or two so that you can start in that direction. And then typically the path reveals itself from there that's helpful to them and helpful to you.
This concept of feeling like a sellout is something that you address in your book, and you teach us how to sell ourselves without selling our souls. How do we do that?
Well, it's about being authentic. And so many people are really proud of what they do and they're excited about it, but they're afraid to talk about it to others. And we have to shift that mindset and realize that we're actually being helpful to others when we're starting to solve their problems. So what we teach people is, how do you remove the barrier of worried about talking about yourself and just focus on being helpful, and that you're actually rolling up your sleeves and starting to be helpful as opposed to talking about you being helpful. And it's in the action of serving that helps that happen. Is that helpful?
Yes, absolutely. Like just having that mindset of service is so key.
Yeah.
You wanted to write this book. You wanted to have it come out in 2018. What is it about today's current business climate where this book is absolutely needed? Why now?
I think the world is sort of flooded with these kind of make you want to take a shower, manipulative sales techniques kind of methods. And they're just not authentic. And a lot of people maybe they feel like, wow, again, I need to expand my influence, so I'll read this book. And they sort of read the book and realize, this just isn't me. And then they quit. I think what I'm hearing is the world is really excited about an approach that's authentic and genuine. You know, we keep saying the word helpful, but I think it's relevant here. And the world needs a whole system that they can say, okay, I've worked really hard. I've become really great at something. Now, how do I learn how to be really great at helping others see that I can be helpful to them? Back to that sell, how to sell yourself without selling your soul line that you talked about. And boy, are we hearing just an amazing resonance in the community out there that people want a model like that they can feel good about doing development work in a way that helps them and helps others.
What you're preaching is I'll say it, harder than maybe putting out some sort of mass marketing, whatever you want to call it, like just being inauthentic. It's easier to be inauthentic than it is to be authentic in some ways, because what you're suggesting, and I do this too, I try to do this, is to really give people that one-on-one attention, which is hard when you're trying to scale. But like I'm telling listeners, you can go to Instagram and you can direct message me there and I will get back to you. I'm sending people personal videos of my answers to their money questions because, well, it's easy for me because I'm on the go all the time, but I feel like it's a little bit of effort on my end. And I think hopefully it's being welcomed exponentially more than, you know, maybe like a canned response to one of their questions. And I'll tell you, it's more time for me, but I get so much gratitude out of it because I feel like I'm also developing more of a connection to my tribe. It's not just about them. It's about me too.
That's exactly right. And what I love about what you said is you're being very strategic about your time. And you've done a great job of building your brand. And I think of it sort of like a capital T-shaped graph. You're scaling because you've got this awesome podcast. You've got this whole community that loves you to death. You know, when I was just talking about coming on the show, I had so many people go, oh my gosh, you know, I listen to that podcast. I follow her. So the top of the T is scale, where you can, you know, you're in a position where you're influencing hundreds of thousands of people. But the vertical part of the T is where you're picking the few people that you think you can be helpful to, and they can have a big return to you as well. And you're going particularly deep with those folks. And the book teaches both aspects of the T. Part of it's scale. You know, you've got to find methods to get your message out and get in position your brand uniquely. But you also probably have relatively few folks that can have this disproportionate amount of impact on you. And those, this is what the book teaches. How do you prioritize those people? How do you get introduced to them? How do you find a way to be helpful? And how do you continue that relationship in a way that deepens both sides?
Speaking of relationships, I was reading up about you and your family, and you have a farm in Atlanta, which is so money.
You know, we found, gosh, this is a whole, we could do a whole podcast.
We're transitioning now. Can you tell?
Yeah, we are. We found this dream. We actually called it the dream property for 10 years. And it's 11 acres in the heart of Atlanta. I'm 5 minutes from work in Midtown. And I can let my wife do a therapeutic writing. And she's a therapeutic writing instructor, and she can help little kids with disabilities in our backyard in a way that I can, if I work from home, I can look out my office window and see her help kids walk that couldn't walk before. So I think money is one of those things that it provides you freedom or it shackles you. And I'd much rather be the one that it provides freedom to. And the ability to have a lifestyle like this is just so important for me and my family.
So it was very conscientious. This was not a splurge or an impulse purchase, rather, the farm in Atlanta.
No.
This was something you guys have really been focused on for a while.
The prior owners lived here 38 years, and it took me about 2 years for the prior owner to even meet with me to talk about it because the home wasn't on the market. And they're just absolutely wonderful people that I look up to this day. And even after getting the first meeting, it took us another year to sort of design a sales process that would make sense for them and make sense for us. So this was 3 years of very intentional effort and to make this kind of thing happen.
So if you had to summarize your financial philosophy and how you spend in a way that aligns with your values, what would you say is that declaration, that philosophy, that motto?
I think money provides you freedom. And it's not necessarily anything helpful in and of itself, except that it helps you do three big things. It helps you strategically work on the meaningful work you want to work on. It helps you do the day-to-day things that you really like to do and outsource the other things, sort of the details, if you will. And it helps you help the people that you want to help, whether it's through a direct financial gift or the fact that because you're not worried about money, you have the time to help other people. And I think that strategic and sort of planful and humanistic components, those three things, I think that's if you have more than you need financially, that's what helps you do those things. And I think that's so, so important in today's world.
How did you arrive at these principles around money? Is it something that you feel like it's been ingrained in you since childhood, or you arrived at it more in your adult life. Sponsor is Chase Slate, and they did this great survey recently and found that a majority of families have had a money conversation with their children. And so when you were a kid, do you remember a money memory?
I do. Many of them. My favorite is I grew up in a small town in Indiana. And when I say small, I mean like 80 or 100 people. We just had we only had a two-way stop sign, not a four-way stop sign. That tells you how small it was. And there were two businesses in town. One was a grain elevator where the farmers would take and sell their grain at harvest time. And the other was this little tiny restaurant, and my family owned it. And from fifth grade until even the summers when I was in college, I worked in that restaurant. And I saw my parents just work so hard. And the restaurant itself wasn't super successful in a financial sense by any means. I could go on and on about that. But I saw my dad in particular do what he loved. And for him, being behind that bar and being an entertainer and being the hub of that community wasn't work for him. It was fun. And he was always helping people have a great time. He was always the center of the stage. It was a show in that bar. And people came in and they stayed longer if he was there. He could measure that. And I can remember not only just, you know, working hard on my own, washing dishes or waiting tables and making $2 an hour. And I had a sense of financial freedom because I had more money than I need, even at that age, because I was working so many hours in the back of the restaurant. But I also saw my dad do what he wanted and love it. And I thought that was really, really cool.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Did you know that I'm a podcast host and also a mind reader? Because I know that you want to grow your portfolio, to deal with the rising costs of inflation, to pay off your debt or your mortgage. You want to attack pretty much anything standing in the way of you and your financial freedom, right? Well, here's one solution: more knowledge. This podcast helps, I hope. And you can use Yahoo Finance, where you can get access to the news, data, and tools that you need to help reach your definition of financial freedom. For more than 25 years, Yahoo Finance has been the brand behind every great investor. They're the number one finance destination, and I know because I worked there for many years, producing a holistic look at the financial news cycle, including breaking news, original editorial perspectives, analyst ratings, customizable charts, so much more. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit the brand behind every great investor, yahoofinance.com. The number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com. That's yahoofinance.com. For the longest time, I dreaded buying bras. It was like shopping for jeans. Impossible. You want a bra that's sexy? You want a bra that's comfortable? You can't have both. Well, now you can, thanks to Third Love. Third Love was started to take all the frustration, the ick, the ugh, out of bra shopping. That's why they make solutions for every bra problem or brablem. Their bras make it easy to bring back perkiness you haven't seen since high school. Get smoothing, you know where, and have straps that actually stay put. Designed at their headquarters in San Francisco and made with premium materials, they put every style through hours of wear testing on real women, including themselves, before it's given the stamp of boob approval. Comfort and support are guaranteed. Plus, whether you're a AA cup or an H cup, their virtual fitting room will help you find your perfect fit fast. They even invented half cups. No more feeling stuck between two cup sizes that don't fit. It's time to get your problems solved. Visit thirdlove.com and get $15 off your order with the code PODCAST15. The weather's getting warmer as I record. It's a nice 73 degrees on the East Coast. So, finally, time to say goodbye to jackets and sweaters and, fingers crossed, hello to shorts and tees. And I need to update my wardrobe for the long haul. And, you know, I don't want to spend a fortune. So luckily, I found Quince. I'm honest. I've got a lineup of timeless pieces from Quince that keep me looking effortlessly chic year after year. I'm talking premium European linen dresses, blouses and shorts from $30, washable silk tops, timeless 14-karat gold jewelry, and tons more. Best part, all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. I have t-shirts from Quince, pajamas from Quince. My very chic and fashionable sister-in-law, Hannah, her whole closet is Quince. And people often stop us and ask, where did you get this? Don't tell me the price. And then when I do, they're shopping on Quince.com. Get warm weather ready with Quince. Go to Quince.com/SoMoney for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's Quince.com/SoMoney to get free shipping and 365-day returns. Quince.com/SoMoney.
That does echo a lot of the studies that have been done around parents and work and the impact on children. Mm-hmm. So I know there's a lot of guilt that we associate with leaving home to work and time spending time away from children. But I mean, in this case, you had a front row seat to your dad's career. But for kids who don't have that access, studies show it's really important for parents to emphasize the positives of their careers and their jobs, even if you had a really bad day. Like, it is very, it leaves a huge impact on your kids as far as what they grow up to feel like work should mean, what the possibilities of work are. And so your dad, in many ways, was really setting you up for success.
Yeah, and that's exactly right. In a way, my dad was sort of the business developer, if you will, because he was the heart of all these conversations and things. And then what I learned from my mom is she was sort of the expert. So if we sort of teach experts how to sell, if you will, if you think of the good version of the word sell, my dad was the salesperson. He was the business developer. He was the person someone trusts with their problems. And then my mom was the expert. She taught school in the same school for about 40 years and just kept getting better and better and better at it. And it was really neat to see that dichotomy. And that's what I think I came away with. You know, how can I become an expert in a way that deeply helps people?
What would you say was your greatest money lesson learned, a hard lesson?
Oh boy, it's a tough one. Soon after I started our business, and we had started Bundle Idea Group, and we had at this point maybe trained like 1,000 people or something like that. We're just getting started. It was over a decade ago. I sort of went back to my roots and remembered a mantra that people in Indiana and rural Indiana would say, which is you don't want a mortgage. And I paid off a huge amount of our mortgage. And unfortunately, that was in September of 2008. Oh. You can imagine how this one ends.
Yeah.
You know, literally like 3 weeks later, you know, the financial crisis happened. All the equity in our home got locked up, and I didn't have any reason I had to do that. I just did because that's, in air quotes, what you did. You know, these are the things I learned as a child in rural America. And I did a spreadsheet that weekend. Farnish, I calculated I had about 3 months of cash left.
Oh no.
And boy, did I will remember that lesson for a very long time. I had to double down and hustle, and I mean hustle in a great way, you know, figure out how to grow the business very quickly in a horrible environment. And we made it out fine. But let me tell you, those couple months after that were very, very difficult and stressful.
But looking back, would you also say that trying to grow or build a business during a recession is an advantageous time because the barriers to entry are low? They're, first of all, everyone's running into the forest. The cost to rent supplies or buy some, you know, equipment for your business is at a discount. You can negotiate everything. And so in retrospect, did those benefits surface for you?
They did. And in a way, another one, which was just even more important, the fact that we were positioned as a trainer to help people grow their business, that alone.
Oh, there you go. Yeah.
Pulled us through. And I had so many of our big clients that said, you know, listen, we cut our training budget by half, but we're giving you all of it, you know, things like that. So we actually got we got through that scary time, but we actually had tremendous growth over those next couple of years because while training budgets went really down at our big corporate clients, The good news was they were putting all of it, you know, with us, so we could help them grow during a tough time.
I'm glad that worked out for you. And, you know, so inspiring, because that we talk about the financial crisis as if it were this, you know, this while ago, but it was just less than 10 years ago. So, or maybe 11, you know, depending on when the crash started. For me, it was 2009 when I got laid off. That's when it really hit home. For you, yeah. It was 2008 when you paid off your mortgage.
Yeah. Not very smart, by the way.
Yeah. But just to show what you can completely reinvent and rebound exponentially in a decade. You know, thank you for sharing that. That's really inspiring.
Yeah.
Mo, what is a habit that you practice, a financial habit that really helps you and your partner, or you and just you yourself as an entrepreneur, stay on the right financial track?
You know, I started my career as an actuary. Do you know what that is?
Yes. You are someone who is tasked with the very hard, difficult job of like predicting risk, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I haven't practiced an actuary since like 1998 or something. So it's been almost 20 years. But I started my career there and I took all those exams. It takes like 8 years to get through all those. And the thing that being an actuary teaches you is how to think long-term all the time. Like, you're always playing the long game because you're taught how to forecast things, not in a few years, but 80 years, 100 years. You know, if you think about all the work actuaries do with pension plans or things like that, life insurance. And I'd gone through all that training, and I swear, I think that actuarial mind taught me to teach people great through relationships, because you're always playing the long game. And that's what's flowed through the book, Snowball System. And I think the habit I've got around that with that context is I've got one spreadsheet that has all my financial stuff in it, everything. It has tabs for insurance. It has tabs for net worth. It has tabs for budgeting and things like that. And I have very specific rituals on a quarterly and annual basis where I go and look at that, and I revisit net worth and cash flow and things like that. And the one metric I'm always worried about is, and I've done this since the mid-90s, is what is my effective hourly rate? And how I calculate that is I look at, say, on an annual basis, look at how many dollars did I make, and I divide it by how many hours did I work. And I could do that back when I was a full-time employee at a consulting firm. I can do it today as an entrepreneur with a company that has 350 clients. And through that tracking of that, it always keeps it front of mind. Am I doing things today that are going to help me earn more money a year from today, and thus give me more freedom in those three ways we talked about? And I think that discipline of doing that over 20 or 25 years has always pushed me outside my comfort zone and always pushed me to invest in myself in ways that I think can help that metric and thus help others. How does that resonate with you?
Yeah. So I have heard there's a sort of a shorthand for figuring out your effective hourly rate. And it's, I think Tim Ferriss covers it in his 4-hour work week, but it's like you take your annual salary or your annual income, you knock off the last 3 zeros, and then you divide what's left by 2. And that's your hourly rate. So if you make $50,000 a year, that's 50 divided by 2, $25 an hour. And that's a good kind of way to measure, okay, is it better for me to perform a task because I'm paying, this is what it would cost me to use my time, or better to outsource it? And if it's cheaper to outsource, if it's $18 to pay someone to clean your house per hour, then that's what you should do. I like that.
You
I like that rule
it.
Of thumb. Yeah. All right.
Yeah, you nailed
See,
it.
I'm paying attention.
That's it. And I'll tell you, I think when I've helped others do that, boy, does that help them make those simple decisions, just like you're saying, because now you've got a metric. What should I lop off and what should I continue to do?
All right, Mo, let's do some So Money fill in the blanks. This is when I start a sentence and then you just finish it. First thing that comes to mind.
I'm ready.
All right, cool. If I won the lottery tomorrow, the first thing I would do is...
That's funny. I would keep doing what I'm doing now. I love impacting these 12,000 people we've trained, and I want to keep it.
I love it. You'd stay on the horse farm and everything.
Yeah, I wouldn't change a thing.
Cool. One thing I spend on that makes my life easier or better is?
oh, you know what? I outsource everything I can around the maintenance of the property and the cleaning of the house and things like that. I hate that stuff. And I don't want to do it. It makes me frustrated when I do it. So I outsource it all.
Yes. I also like the idea of having a farm, but not actually running a farm.
Exactly.
Or managing a farm.
Yeah, we do some of the stuff we like the feeding and all that. I mean, my wife does a lot of this too, but I don't like cutting the lawn, let's just say.
Totally get that. All right. When I donate, I like to give to blank because?
My fraternity. I was in college. It was a huge instrumental part of my career, and I try to give back to them.
Fantastic. Which fraternity? I went to Penn State, so like biggest Greek system in the country.
Oh, man. I was a Delta Tau Delta.
I don't know what that means, but I just wanted to say that I went to Penn State and we have a ton of fraternities and sororities. I was never a part of the Greek system, surprisingly, I think, because when you go to Penn State, there's two things you're expected to love, the Greek system and football. I did not participate in any of those two activities or even like in the stands, but still had a great time though.
Okay.
All went well. I would do it again. Yeah. I would go back to Penn State. And I'm a big donor now, and I'm on the board there, and I'm really a proud Penn Stater. All right. And last but not least, I'm Mo Bunnell. I'm so money because?
Because I focus on money. Yeah, I focus on that effective hourly rate, always thinking of ways I can improve it, and then how do I give back to the people who help me.
Living a life of service. Thank you so much, Mo. Congratulations on the Snowball System and hope you have a great rest of your year.
Hey, thanks, Farnoosh. I love being a part of the program. Thank you.
Thanks so much to Mo for joining us. His website is mobunnell.com, B-U-N-N-E-L-L. You can pre-order his book, The Snowball System, on Amazon. And if you'd like to read more about his work, go to snowballsystem.com. You can also check out createdemandcourse.com. If you missed any of this, don't worry. You can grab it all at SoMoneyPodcast.com, where we upgraded the site a bit. Go around, check it out. Let me know what you think. We made it a little prettier, a little hopefully easier to navigate. And there you can, as always, grab the transcript, the audio, and leave me a message for the Friday episodes of Ask Farnoosh. If you have a money question, career question, motherhood question, these days I am not shy to any questions. Leave it for me there either by typing it in, or you can leave a voicemail. Just click on that Ask Farnoosh button. Thanks for tuning in, everyone, and I hope your day is so money. Hosting the So Money podcast for almost 10 years, I've been learning a lot about how to best serve you outside the show. I've begun to offer pop-up workshops and a So Money members club. And with each new line of business, a lot goes on behind every transaction. Stripe helps simplify and ease payments with Tap to Pay on iPhone, which helps me grow revenue and reach through accepting more in-person contactless payments when I'm out in real life promoting my programs. Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe give me the ability to scale quickly and stay flexible with quick setup and no additional hardware required. And it's not just ideal for me. From local pop-ups to global retailers, Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe help businesses of all sizes accept contactless payments right from an iPhone. Whether your customers want to use their card, Apple Pay, or other digital wallet, now you can accept contactless payments right from an iPhone. To learn how Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe can help grow your revenue and reach, visit stripe.com/tapiphone.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.